Awesome. Would you turn in your Bibles this morning to Hebrews chapter 11? It's page 1381, if you're using that Bible under the seat in front of you. Put a bookmark here, because we'll be in Hebrews chapter 11 for the next couple of months at least. This is a famous chapter in the Bible. And we're beginning a series this morning that I'm calling Champions of Faith. Champions of Faith. Let's pray. Lord, these are extraordinary times in which we live. The challenges are huge. And I pray that your people worldwide would step up to the challenge. And that includes all of us right here in El Paso. Lord, make us strong. Keep us focused. Lord, make our lives usable. Pray that everyone here this morning who calls you Lord and Savior would be one who makes a difference. Bless this time, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. This chapter is often referred to as the Hall of Faith. And that's because it records all of the Old Testament saints who are known for faith. Mighty men and women of God who live by faith and touch their generation. And there's something really powerful about studying the lives of others, because we're encouraged, we're motivated by what they did, and we're encouraged to do the same thing today. So in the next several weeks, we're going to be looking at the stories of these champions. But this morning, by way of introduction, let's see what this chapter says about faith in general. And more specifically, the effect that faith has upon our lives. There's no question that this chapter is all about faith. The central theme of Hebrews chapter 11 is faith. There are 40 verses in this chapter. The word faith shows up 25 times. You find the word in 23 of the 40 verses. You look through it and you find the phrase over and over. By faith, by faith, by faith Abel, by faith Moses, by faith Noah, by faith Sarah. So the whole chapter is about faith. And it's important to understand what the writer of this chapter means by the word faith, because people attach different meanings to faith. Some people see faith as this feeling that you manufacture, this pie in the sky feeling, wishful thinking, blind optimism, bootstrap positive thinking. You know, you just gotta have faith. Be positive about this. That's not the faith that's being discussed in Hebrews chapter 11. And then there are others that see faith as superstitious, some belief in a fable, the opposite of reason. So on one hand, you have faith, but then on the other hand, you have science and intellect and reason. Hey, listen, the faith in Hebrews chapter 11 is not unreasonable, and it's not superstitious. And I would say that faith in the Christian sense of the word has the overwhelming support of science, intellect, and reason. No, this is a reasonable faith that we have here in Hebrews chapter 11. And he's speaking of the faith that believers have. As believers, we have faith in the living God and the promises that he has spoken. As believers, we have trust and confidence in the living God. And the promises that he has spoken in his word. Do you have that type of faith? And it's that kind of faith that will change your whole outlook on life. Look at verse 1 here in Hebrews chapter 11. Notice it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. Now just look at that very first phrase. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now when you read that in English, it sounds like that's a strange definition. Faith is. But in the original Greek language, it's more a description of what faith does. You could read it in English, faith provides the substance of things hoped for. That Greek word for substance is hypostasis, and it means literally to stand under. It speaks of that which serves as a support, that which is a foundation. So the idea is, this thing we called faith in God and his promises provides the foundation for the future hopes. The NEB reads this way, faith gives substance to our hopes. NIV, faith is being sure of what we hope for. NASB, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. I think that's the best translation. Faith grabs hold of what we hope for and makes it real and substantial. Our faith brings future hopes into the present. And we rely upon it. We have a lot of hope, don't we, Christian? We have many promises. We hope for the second coming of Jesus Christ. Don't you hope for that? We hope that one day the kingdom of God will come upon earth. We hope for the resurrection. We hope that we'll be reunited with our loved ones in Christ who have died. We hope for brand new glorified bodies. The older I get, the more I hope for that. We hope for heaven. We hope for that day when God will wipe away all of our tears. Faith makes those future hopes real to you today. It makes things hoped for as real as if we already had them. As one commentator writes, faith celebrates now the reality of the future blessings which make up the objective content of Christian hope. Faith gives to the objects of hope the force of present realities, and it enables the person of faith to enjoy the full certainty that in the future these realities will be experienced. Your faith in God and his promises makes you certain about future hopes. You know, when I was a kid, I would always find my Christmas gifts before Christmas. I would snoop, and look all over to find these gifts. And I'll never forget, one year I wanted a baseball bat. And one year I found this long, skinny box, wrapped, had my name on it, picked it up. Ah, it's my bat. And that was my bat at that moment. In fact, it's the bottom of the ninth. There's two outs, 3-2. Terry Gray's up. He strikes out. No, I'm kidding. He hits a home run. That bat, all wrapped up, was mine at that moment, though it wouldn't actually become mine until Christmas morning when I unwrapped it. Do you understand? That faith in God and his promises, makes all those promises, all those future hopes real today. Did you know heaven is yours? The resurrection is yours. The brand new bodies are coming. They're yours. And that has to impact the way you live life today. You can endure through anything today. You can stand up to any test that God might give you today because you know those future realities. Look at the second phrase here in verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Again, in the English, it sounds like this weird definition. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. But in the original Greek, it's describing what faith does. You could read it, faith in God and his promises provides the evidence of things not seen. In the Greek, it's elanchos, which is translated evidence, and it's also many times in the New Testament translated conviction. The New American Standard, faith is the conviction of things not seen. NIV, faith is being certain of what we do not see. That's the idea. If you have faith, you see things that are unseen. You see things that cannot be seen with your physical eyes. But you see things with your spiritual eyes by faith. You know, there's a lot about Christianity that's invisible. There's a lot about the kingdom of God that you can't see. Angels. You ever seen an angel? Well, I've seen Kim, but she's not that type of angel. Brownie points there, huh? I believe in angels. I pray that angels are encamped around this campus every week. The Bible says that Jesus is with you. Have you seen Jesus? The Bible says where two or three are gathered, Jesus is in the midst. Do we see Jesus with our physical eyes? But he's here. The Holy Spirit lives in you. Have you ever seen the Holy Spirit? But he's there. And your faith gives visual certitude to things that you haven't seen with your physical eyes. You know, there's a wonderful story in 2 Kings chapter 6. Elisha and his assistant, they're staying in a tiny city called Dothan. And the king of Syria is mad at this prophet because Elisha keeps finding out, he keeps getting word from the Lord where this king's going to strike. And so he gives warning, and when the king shows up, nobody's there. Elisha's given the warning. So this king wants to get rid of Elisha, finds out that Elisha and his assistant are staying in this small city, sends an army of chariots and horses during the night. The army of the Syrians surrounds the city of Dothan. That morning, early, the assistant gets up and he looks. And he says, Elisha, what are we going to do? Elisha responds with these words, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened his eyes, the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. There are more with us than there are with them. Do you believe that? The Lord Jesus Christ is with you. The Holy Spirit lives inside you. angels surround you. You can stand. You can make a huge difference. The Bible goes on to promise many things to us as Christians. Many, many blessings were promised in Scripture, and many of which are unseen. Ephesians chapter 1, we've been blessed with every blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. And it lists all these blessings, and many of them you can't see. The Scripture teaches that we as Christians are seated with Christ in the heavenly places, identified with Him, baptized into Him. We don't see that. But our faith makes that real. C.S. Lewis, you've heard of him, one of the most brilliant men who has ever lived. At one point, he was a devout atheist. And he began reading the Bible to disprove Christianity. And what happened? He became a Christian reading the Bible. This is a man of great intellect, of great brain power. And he tells us of the power of faith when he says, and I quote, "A man cannot accept what Christ has done without knowing how it works. Indeed, he certainly won't know how it works until he's accepted it." Augustine, one of the most brilliant theologians who ever lived, said, and I quote, "Faith is to believe what we do not see, and the reward of this faith is to see what we believe." That is the power of faith. Two commentators sum up this verse. Dr. J. Oswald Sanders puts it perfectly. Faith enables the believing soul to treat the future as present and the invisible as seen. Another guy, faith makes things hoped for as real as if we already had them, and it provides unshakable evidence that the unseen spiritual blessings of Christianity are absolutely certain and real. In other words, it brings the future within the present and makes the invisible seen. You know, we have five physical senses. Taste, smell, touch, we hear, we see. If you're a Christian, you have a sixth sense, which I would argue is more powerful than the five physical. You have faith. And with the eyes of faith, you see things that other people don't. You know what? When you have an outlook like that, you live life different. That is one of the reasons why these men and women are listed in this chapter. I want you to skip down. Look at verse 13. Very important to see this. This is kind of a summary passage that would apply to all the champions that we're going to study. Look at verse 13. Read that with me carefully. He says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises." What? "But having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind the country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore," I love this, "God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them." It's really important to understand. All of the saints that we're going to study in the coming weeks died before receiving many of the promises that they were promised. And yet, to the day of their death, they believed in those promises as if they had them. So, for example, Abraham, and we're going to study his life. God promised him that his family would become a great nation. You know, there was a long time in Abraham's life where they didn't even have a son. And certainly, Abraham died before he saw the fulfillment of that great nation that would come from his family. But he believed it to the end. Same thing with Sarah. She believed. She died before she saw this great nation. Same thing with Isaac. Same thing with Jacob. All of these folks mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. In fact, all of the Old Testament saints listed here in Hebrews chapter 11 believed in one day the coming of Messiah. They never saw the Messiah with their own eyes. They died before he came. The Old Testament saints, just like us today, longed for the kingdom of God to be realized on earth. They didn't see it during their lifetimes, but they saw it by faith and they knew it was coming. The Old Testament saints, just like us today, longed for a heavenly country. They didn't see it during their lifetimes, but they saw it by faith. And my friends, that's what enabled them to impact their generation in such mighty ways. It says they were assured of them, they embraced them, and they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. We're here for something greater. They were movers and shakers of their society. And I want to encourage us to have that same type of faith. See those future hopes as real today. Let your faith see those things which are unseen. And hold on to it till the day you die. And you will be a mover and shaker in this generation. Bottom line is, as people of faith, our hope becomes real. In fact, there's a spiritual axiom that's implicit here. It goes like this. Faith produces hope. Hope produces perseverance. Without faith, one will inevitably shrink back. But with faith, you get hope and you keep moving forward. 1 Peter 1:3 tells us that we've been born again to a living hope. The degree of our experience of hope is proportionate to the degree of our faith. The more profound our faith, the more profound our hope. A deeply intense faith spawns a deeply intense hope that keeps you grounded and moving forward. Faith in God and what he has said gives you an incredible outlook on life. There's something else that this faith does, and I love this, and this might be my favorite part about faith. Our faith in God pleases him. Having faith in God pleases him. And how many of you want to please God? Look up at verse 2. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 2, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. The ancients, the elders listed in Hebrews chapter 11 are listed because they pleased God. They are approved by God. One commentator put it this way. These are the ancients who put a smile on the face of God by their faith. We're going to read a list of men and women and study their lives. God included them in this chapter to say to us, this is how you do it. This is what pleases me. Live like this. Look at verse 6. Another general principle that you find. Probably the most important verse of the chapter and one of the most important verses in our lives as Christians. But without faith, it is impossible to what? To please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Brother and sister in Christ, it is impossible to please God without faith. He delights in your faith. You know, as Christians, we believe that we're saved by faith, right? We're saved by faith in Christ, by the grace of God. Jesus died on the cross for our sins and rose again the third day, and we place our faith in him. We're saved by faith, but the Bible teaches that we also are to live the Christian life by faith. There are two aspects of the faith. He who comes to God must believe that he is. Now, you would think that that would be something for an atheist to hear. No, no. This letter is written to Christians. We are to believe that God is. We are to come to him knowing who he is. Not just the idea that he exists, that's a given for us. We believe in the existence of God. But as Christians, we believe in the Almighty God, the gracious God, the omnipotent God, the omnipresent God, the omniscient God, the loving God, the caring God, the just God, the eternal God, the great I am God. We have faith in a big God, don't we? And I'll ask you here this morning, I'll challenge you, how big is your God? How big is the God of the Bible to you, my brother and sister in Christ? Have you put him in a box? Have you forgotten that the whole point of the Christian life is that you have a relationship with God? Have you forgotten that when you pray, you're praying to the one who created you? Sometimes I think we pray and we mouth it. Don't ever forget who's on the other end of the line. We are to have faith that he is who he says he is. And it also says that we are to believe by faith that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If you believe in God as a Christian, and you diligently seek him, or to put it another way, you want him intensely, and you search after him, he's going to reward you. You know, some people see God as the big withholder. Oh, God withholds all these fun stuff. Baloney. God's the rewarder. He is the rewarder of men and women of big faith who diligently seek him. And how does he reward you? I'll tell you, over and over in the scripture, the Lord says, seek after me, keep knocking, call upon me, and you'll find me. The reward is that you get to know God better. That you become stronger. The reward is that you get more faith. The reward is that you become more usable. We read it down there in verse 16, but this is something that should give us chills. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. God loves to be the God of people who see him as a big God and depend upon him. God loves to be the God of people with big faith. It delights him. Oh, how we need it. Would you bow your heads with me and would you close your eyes? Father, I pray for the faith of your people. I pray that it would grow. I pray for my faith that it would grow. Lord, you've placed it at this time in history, in this generation. Here we are facing a pandemic. Here we are facing crises all around the world. Here we are in a country that is literally falling apart. Lord, here we are in days where last day prophecies are literally being fulfilled before our very eyes. Lord, you've caused us or called us to live in days where the hatred and opposition towards you and your principles is escalating. I ask that you would help us to continue to be salt and light. And that our faith in you would grow. We would take great assurance in those future hopes. And Lord, help us to see the things that others don't. Lift up the countenance of your people. Strengthen your people. Use your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.